All right, City Council will come back to back from recess. Sue, would you please call the roll?
Fish.
Here.
Salzman.
Here.
Leonard. Fritz.
Here.
Adams.
Here. Just a few upfront housekeeping rules. How many of you have testified before the City Council before? All right. For those of you that have not, it's important that you sign up on the list to testify that Sue will have at her desk in about now. people will be called in the order in which they signed up. And how many people do we have signed up?
Let's see. About 25.
We will be giving each member each person who signed up 2 minutes. The normal amount is 3 minutes. If you have prepared for 3 minutes and you absolutely need to give us 3 minutes, then we'll make allowances, but we find that what can be said well in 3 minutes can be said even better in two. Oftentimes. I also wanted to note that tonight is the first of two hearings. So tonight is an opportunity to listen and to give us your initial feedback. We're not going to be hearing or taking any amendments tonight, but if you have changes you would like to see made in the plan, tonight would be the night to air them out. And then we'll actually be dealing with amendments on July 8th at 2 p.m. And there will not be a vote on this issue until July 22nd at 2 p.m. Normally, we only have one hearing, but because this is your first neighborhood plan, we wanted to take the opportunity to have two hearings. And to any suggested revisions that you have, we'll hear tonight. If there's support on council, we'll formulate those into amendments. The amendments will be considered then on 2 p.m. on July 8th. Having said that, a couple of points of introduction to this. I'm really pleased to be sitting here today, having the City Council begin the process of considering a neighborhood plan for Hayden Island. This is something that grew out of among other things, the fact that a bridge was coming forward, plans for a new bridge were coming forward, and that a large-scale retailer wanted to locate a new site at a place that was already failing in terms of congestion, but we were worried that it would fail even worse if that high volume retailer moved forward. So this is we together with the neighborhood and business owners put together a moratorium. The moratorium, although is not in place any longer, did allow some breathing room for business owners and citizens on the island to go through a planning process to figure out what the highest and best way to make a complete neighborhood out of the island. This is a challenging part of town, as our almost every part of town now has its challenges in terms of planning, but this is especially challenging in that it's an island. And we have this flight path from the airport. And we have sort of a restriction on sort of how many people can get on and off. And this freeway that runs through right in the middle of it. So I'm looking forward to hearing the good work that has come forward. And we're going to hear first from staff and then hear from some of the folks that have been part of the leadership of the steering committee, and then we'll open it up to public testimony. So, Mr. Zender.
Excuse me first, can I read the item?
Yes, you can.
Thank you. Number 859, adopt and implement the Hayden Island plan and amend comprehensive plan map.
Thank you, Sue. Mr. Zender.
Good evening. I'm Joe Zender, Chief Planner with the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability. And I just want, tonight you're going to hear a presentation, an overview of the plan and the recommended code revisions. But I just wanted to introduce the team that's been working on this plan for over a year. The project lead from Bureau of Planning and Sustainability has been Alice Ann Wetzel. supported by Lisa Hamblin. We've worked closely with Matt Wickstrom at the Bureau of Development Services on developing the code, and our partner in, throughout this project and on everything CRC, John Gillen with the Bureau of Transportation. We also had a consultant team who helped us with the project of DEA led by David Knowles. With that, I'll turn it over to Alice Ann for a presentation.
Thank you. Good evening, Commissioners. As Joe said, I'm Alice Ann Wetzel, and I've been the lead planner on this project for about 2 years now. And this is the first plan for Hayden Island. Hayden Island came into the city in phases through the 1980s and into the 1990s. It was originally developed under county zoning. It is Portland's only island neighborhood and island community. And so as such, it is surrounded by water, has one way on and one way off, and that's by a bridge. And you'll hear a lot of conversation about that bridge in the community as we go forward this evening. So it's on the northern edge of the city in the middle of the Columbia River. And what we were charged with was to create a neighborhood plan for Hayden Island to take into account its future growth, its access and connection to the city, its unique environment on the Columbia River, and to create a community with a place that feels like an island community. It is a unique community in that on the 600 acres of the eastern half of the island, we have a wide range of housing options, from manufactured homes to condominiums to floating homes. It's one of the largest floating home communities in the United States and including the Northwest, and single-family homes. So it's a real wide range of opportunities and options for living on the island. The center of the island is dominated by commercial, with the residential on the eastern and western sides of the commercial. And then we have some marine industrial areas to the far east and to the west, including a large auto auction and some transportation facilities on the west part of the island. And by the west, I mean right up against the railroad lines. I don't mean the western half of Hayden Island. That is what is considered West Hayden Island, and that is being addressed in another planning process as we speak. It is a marine community. It is the center of the recreational marine community for the city of Portland. There are about 3,000 boat slips, 34 marine businesses there, a few yacht clubs, and a large community of boat lovers. Having said that, there is no public access to the water on Hayden Island. It's all private. So that is an issue that we were trying to address, too, in the process. So what I've got on the slide here is where the different marine businesses are on the island and the different moorages and slips that exist on the island. Island traffic is a big issue for the residents of Hayden Island. As I said earlier, there's only one way onto the island, and that's with the interstate. People who live on Hayden Island define their lifestyles by when they can get on the island and when they can get off the island. They know exactly what the traffic situation is at almost all times of day or night, and will take very circuitous routes to get to Hayden Island by going around to Washington and coming from the south, or going to Washington and coming around to the south to get to Portland. It is, as we all know, the interstate is the only lift bridge on an interstate in the Northwest. The island itself is the highest accident spot for vehicular accidents in Oregon, and it's congested a large part of the day. The island also is under the flight path for Portland International Airport. So there are two different noise contours that cross the island. Those noise contours define what kind of land uses can be on the island and the density at which development can go on the island. So this will, areas that are going to be zoned residential, as I will explain later on, will show up as commercial, and that's because of the X overlay and the density that is permitted under the airport noise zone. In this process, we had a steering group of about 40 members from the community who came monthly for about 18 months and were a fabulous group of individuals to provide information on the island, their experiences living there, and their ideas for their future. They also had put together their own neighborhood plan several years ago, so that was the foundation for this plan. We worked with the technical advisory group of other city bureaus and the Port of Portland, the Oregon Department of Transportation, TriMet, and other outside agencies. We had a number of public meetings throughout this process and open houses on the island. And we had a design team from David Evans and Sarah Architects that helped us put together a community design workshop on the island and helped us explain the different ideas and concepts to the community throughout the process. In this process, we came up with a set of principles or themes and goals, and they were to create an island community with a sense of identity, with commercial and employment areas, and safe, connected, healthy neighborhoods. We were trying to protect the environment and open space and actually provide for a little bit more open space on the island since it is underserved by parks, to embrace green philosophies and practices in the plan as we moved forward, and to provide an opportunity for the islanders to get around in an easier fashion, both to and from the island and across the island. Currently, there are only two public streets on the island, and they aren't connected. So one of the things was to provide connections across the island and to integrate the transportation network. Right now, we have a single-mode network, and the goal was to get to a multimodal network. Getting around obviously includes the Columbia River Crossing project, and this was not just a catalyst for the project, but it was a way of integrating the Columbia River Crossing or whatever form the Columbia River Crossing ends up taking into the island plan, and to make sure that the island is not impacted adversely by the project, but that they dovetail each other to work together to get the best transportation and community outcomes for the island. So it was not to meet the needs of the Columbia River Crossings, but to meet both needs that we were working together to achieve on this project. So as I've said to the community, and the community has frequently said, they are the meat and the sandwich on this project, on the Columbia River Crossing, and to make sure that they are not just overlooked, it was really important to connect the two projects together. We were also trying to create an island community. The Jansen Beach Supercenter is a auto-oriented dependent mall at the moment, undergoing transition, and the goal was to create more opportunity with light rail going to the island for a transit-oriented center, and to create community amenities in the center of the island with the park on the northern edge near the bridge terminus, and also to have neighborhood commercial on the east side of I-5 and connect all of that with a main street that connects the eastern half of the island with the western half of the island. We looked at the environment of the island. As I said, there is no public access to the water on the island. There is one single park on Hayden Island, and it is at Lotus Isle Point right here. That's 1 acre park for 2,500 residents. So we looked at opportunities for more green space and open space for the community, and to connect that open space and green space along the edges with a system of trails and paths, as well as green streets across the island. And looking at the eastern tip of the island as a potential habitat area for native species. In the process of the design workshops and working with our design team and the community, we came up with this concept plan, which was the ultimate ideals for the island, to create the central core as residential and mixed use, and with a neighborhood center to provide for a park at the northern edge of the island near the bridge terminus, to provide opportunities for residential on the eastern end of the island within the restrictions of the X overlay, the noise contour, and to ensure that the community is able to move forward and grow as a community throughout the process, and that the process does not adversely impact the interchange by putting too much development on the island, that the interchange can't handle it in the next 35-year period as required under ODOT standards. And Those were the goals as we went into the design process and came out with the plan. Currently, the zoning is primarily for commercial, general commercial on the island, and residential. We're recommending some changes to the zoning map throughout the process, and I'm going to walk through those changes in sections across the island. So I've divided it up into four quadrants for the island. It's not exactly quadrants, four segments, to look at what is the existing zoning, what is the proposed zoning, and what is the concept plan for that area. We're going to start with the west adjacent to the railroad tracks. The concept plan calls for the continuation of the industrial, a park potentially at the northwest corner of the land. That is a lot that is for sale. It is not being rezoned. If there is funding available, it is something the community would like to see happen, but it is not in the plan per se as far as changing the zoning. The existing zoning is industrial and residential with the farm forest along the railroad tracks. We are not proposing any changes in this area at all. West of I-5, we are looking at the transit-oriented development, residential for both the manufactured and floating homes, and the Bridgehead Park, as I've discussed earlier. The existing zoning is residential and commercial, and what we are proposing is to change the eastern half of the manufactured home park from CG to residential. Initially, as we started this process and as we went to Planning Commission, the manufactured home park was not in favor of that change. They have since changed their minds and are in agreement with the change to R2, and you will be hearing from them later on. There are a few issues that we're still trying to work out, and those are the amendments that you discussed earlier, Mayor Adams.
Why only the eastern half?
Because the western half is residential.
It's already residential.
Yes.
The other blue spot on the map is the western
half. If you look at the middle map, you can see that there's the stripes, and the western half is residential.
Thank you.
The Jansen Beach Supercenter posed some challenges for the plan and for the zoning code as we put it together, because zoning does a very good job of dealing with what's here and the ultimate goal. It doesn't necessarily do a great job with a transition area, and this is an area that is under transition. It is an auto-oriented mall, and what we are trying to do is protect the viability of the mall as it moves forward in the interim period, and then ultimately when light rail is available on the island, to getting to the to the transit-oriented development. So what we were trying to do was meet the needs of the interim as well as the future and come up with a section in the code to adhere to that. And I believe that you will hear from the Jansen Beach Supercenter folks this evening feeling that we have met that need. So what we had to do was work to achieve some height limitations and some adjustments in heights so that we can provide for change over time. Site coverage over time, creating an internal access system and a grid system through the street network, and allowing for additional floor area in the future as it goes to residential, and allowing for transfer of units within the site and within the noise contours. So under the noise contours, we are allowed to have, and I'm just going to use for discussion's sake, let's say 1,000 housing units based on what we are allowed. What we are saying is that you don't have to have all 1,000 on one site, that you can spread those out as long as they are within the same noise contour. And so that was one of the things that we were working with on the Jansen Beach Supercenter, as well as other owners on the island.
Did we? What's the status of our discussions with ODOT then?
John.
I'll get to that in a minute.
East of I-5, we were trying to achieve the neighborhood commercial as well as some of the regional commercial that is there. And right now it's a mix of general commercial and multifamily residential. We are changing the area north of Tomahawk Island Drive and south of North Hayden Island Drive to CN2 to provide for the neighborhood commercial in the future. And we are changing some of the multifamily and single-family residential development, still keeping it as those uses, but to matching the density to the existing density on the ground. So All we were doing was looking at what they were built out at as and matching the density that existed, and actually providing open space on the one park on the island, which was currently zoned industrial. And the eastern tip of the island, we had planned for marine industrial as well as multifamily and the existing moorages and floating homes and habitat areas. We had out there is currently general commercial, industrial, and then the eastern tip is farm forest. And each of those slivers that you see on the eastern tip of land are actually owned by properties south of North Portland Harbor, so on Marine Drive. And those are they are buildable lots. They own the mud underneath the river because it's when it was plotted out. But they are not buildable sections of those lots. So that is one of the things that we've been working with the Parks Bureau and the Metro Open Space Funding to attempt to figure out ways to get that accessed and acquired as part of the planning process. We are changing some of the industrial to general commercial, and this is for the residential development that I discussed earlier. Under the X overlay, if we zone it residential, it can only go to the R10 density. But if we zone it commercial, it goes to the R1 density, which is 43 dwelling units to the acre. So that is why you see the change from industrial to commercial, but it's really for residential development.
And the farm and forest
desert? We're leaving it alone.
And you're leaving it alone because?
Because if we were to change it to anything, we'd probably, at acquisition, change it to open space. But we don't own it, so we can't change it.
I see.
It's a natural area that actually we're trying to look at working with Metro to get acquired. Mm-hmm.
Got it. So once we acquire it, we can change it. But before then, it would be a taking?
Yes.
Right. Well, yes, it's complicated, right?
Yes.
Something like that.
Yeah. Okay. So on the eastern end of the island, there are two developments proposed by Columbia Crossings, both residential. And again, this was a transition issue. We were providing for height allowances for these developments. They are within the noise overlay zone, which we are then providing for the density transfer again. The one on the bottom of the slide actually is permitted 800 dwelling units on that little sliver of land. And what we are saying is that we can split these 800 dwelling units between two properties and get a much better development. And so that's one of the things that we're providing for in the X overlay in the code itself. And we're providing for pedestrian paths around the properties and along North Portland Harbor, as requested by the Planning Commission. So that's the proposed zoning in a whole for the whole island and the changes that we are going
with.
And I'll turn it over to John for transportation.
I'd like to highlight some of the key points of the transportation element of the Hayden Island plan, but first to respond, Mr. Mayor, to your question about the access to the mall. Is that what your question was? The property owners of Jansen Beach Mall and ODOT have been in ongoing negotiations about access to the mall. ODOT is concerned because it is at the end of a ramp that leads right into their mall area, so there's concerns about more congestion might create a traffic hazard on the interstate. But ODOT and the mall have investigated about four or five potential solutions, and one or two of which seems to be acceptable to both ODOT and the Jansen Beach Mall folks. There's still some details to be worked out. It would involve still allow for access at that point with some minor modifications, but it's also based on the assumption that there would be limited growth in the mall area in terms of future development of additional square footage. So we have some ODOT representatives here that might be able to go into that in more detail, but that's the basic status of it. As far as the plan, the transportation recommendations support the overall goals and themes of the plan. So the transportation part was done in an integrated manner with the plan. And so it supports the goals and themes of the island community getting around environment and open space. And transportation system plan amendments are being prepared and as part of the plan. And the transportation system plan, or TSP, is part of the comprehensive plan. And policy amendments are being recommended that include recognition of the Hayden Island plan itself, creation of a master street plan, and policies related to integrating city street systems with regional transit and highway improvements. Another key point on the next slide is that the transportation capacities are in balance with the land use capacities as it relates to the plan. Transportation analysis was conducted for the plan, and these were and some alternative scenario, land use scenarios were looked at and evaluated from a transportation standpoint. And some of these scenarios were derived from the moratorium work previously. But what has been found is that the recommended land use plan places less traffic impact on the highway system than the current plan, and especially if you look over the long term, if you have continuation of current development patterns over the long term, that this would even create more traffic impact. So the plan meets ODOT standards for adequacy of services. The plan also establishes a multimodal system plan instead of the current single mode focus. The current plan and current land use patterns are highly focused on automobile systems and access. The Hayden Island plan promotes the use and network expansion for biking, walking, and access to transit. The transportation recommendations are coordinated with the Columbia River Crossing project, but not dependent on it. The Hayden Island plan document and process is conducted. In preparing the plan, provides important recommendations regarding land use and local circulation to inform the Columbia River Crossing project. A future street plan is identified for the Columbia River Crossing project, but is not being adopted at this time. The master street plan that's being adopted at this time is based on the current configuration of the interchange, but the plan also suggests a future street plan, just for information purposes, that that would fit with a future CRC project, but that future master street plan would be subject to a separate hearing and adoption process. Also, there's more work required still. There is an interchange area management plan requirement for the Columbia River Crossing project, and the city and ODOT are engaged in a cooperative process to develop this, and the primary purpose is to assure that the interchange will operate safely and effectively. The work will involve locating driveways and local street connections, but this also includes a public process, and recommendations will be brought to the Planning Commission and City Council for adoption following this process. So the interchange area management plan and the elements of it will come back to City Council. Likewise, more work is required to finalize the street designs that will be built as part of the CRC project. A public process is being developed to inform the CRC project. Some proposed street cross sections are shown in the plan, but these are preliminary and subject to further public review.
Commissioner Fitz.
I have a question about the transportation element. I've received testimony saying that we shouldn't adopt the street plan until we know what the CRC configuration is. Is the intent of this to say this is what we want and to make the CRC conform with what we want?
It does provide direction to the CRC, yes. And so the street plans being adopted is based on the current highway configuration. But it also allows for, it's designed in a way that allows for expansion and integration to fit with the CRC project as currently contemplated. That has to run its course until there's a record of decision about the CRC project. And when there is one, then we will again look at the street master plan to make sure it fits together.
If we adopt this, does our plan trump what the ODOT people want to have happen here or not?
With the bridge?
I think it's more of an integration rather than trumping. Certainly, the Hayden Island Plan has provided very valuable information to the CRC project, which they have incorporated in several circumstances related to, like, the transit station location and some other features. So it's more of an integration of the
but
two.
But in the strictest sense of the word, yes, the federal government can trump local plans.
Okay. And then my final question, does the Columbia River Crossing proposal include a mitigation fund that would be partially allocated to Hayden Island?
No.
Isn't that different from other major...
When you say a mitigation fund, there are impacts that that will occur as a result of the project that will require mitigation.
But in the interstate projects was, and in St. John's and various other things, there, and in Northwest Portland, there is a fund that's allocated to give amenities to the impacted neighborhoods. There isn't a proposal for that in the Columbia River Crossing?
No, there's not. There was a fund that was done as part of the Delta Lombard project.
Yeah.
But there's currently not one for the Columbia River Crossing project. But there's quite a expansion of system improvements for, like, pedestrian and bicycle systems and other aspects that will benefit the create more benefit for the plan.
I'm just thinking, as we're continuing to work on that, we might want to ask for that because it could, for instance, buy some parks in this plan.
The approach that the CRC is taking is that the mitigation is built into the project itself. And so there's a variety of different groups that have, whereas with the Delta Park expansion, it was less of a neighborhood. There were neighborhoods that were impacted by parts of it, but there are swaths of it, like Delta near the Delta Park area, where it wasn't clear to the highway people what to do. And so instead of trying to figure it out, they just put some money aside, whereas on this, the light rail, the trail systems that'll be as part of the right of way. But it is shocking to remember that there's no public access to the water. And so we should definitely, I think Commissioner Fritz's question is a good one, whether we should pursue and whether it's allowed as part of the CRC to get more public open space parks on the island. Anything else? Commissioner Fish?
Thank you. I'm very pleased with the proposal to include some new green spaces and parks, but in some of the communication we have, there's a question has been raised about the location of the new Gateway Park. And it's a park that is contemplated to be partially under the new bridge. And I've been trying to think about an example. I guess the closest example would be Cathedral Park, mm-hmm. with the difference being the Cathedral Park, the span is considerably higher. And I use that park a fair amount, and the noise is never really an issue. So just curious, do you have concerns about the location of the park? And B, has there been any consideration about an alternative siting?
The location of the Gateway Park under the or adjacent to the highway was because of the existing land use as a vacant hotel as an opportunity area. We also looked at the west end of the island and a little bit at the east.
It's a challenging, there's some open space opportunities at the east end of the island, but that's really a wildlife area. Mm-hmm. That's part of what we're balancing here. This is what you get with an island that's rich in water habitat. Mm-hmm. The land underneath the bridge or next to the bridge mm-hmm. as well is potentially an acquisition and staging area for CRC. So there's an opportunity there to, you know, if CRC were to go forward, it to be a site that's good to be redeveloped anyway. Thanks.
I was also going to mention that if you look on the transportation plan maps also, that there is a perimeter walkway network that's being proposed. And so that will, although not like sizable recreation-style park areas, it does provide improved access to the water.
And we actually, this
perimeter,
issue.
Sorry. Hmm? Entire island perimeter?
Or? Not the entire island, east. But for a lot of it.
A lot of the east.
We toured the site and actually tackled this issue with the Parks Bureau, and initially it was a pretty high concern about noise. And I think where the Parks Bureau came down with us is that the uniqueness of access to the water and this frontage on the Columbia, that it still was a valuable location and asset for open space and park, and that we could make the most of it. We haven't done detailed planning of it, but we did actually with them go out and sort of investigate noise and consider those kind of livability issues with it. And in the end, came down on keeping it in the plan.
It's fair to summarize. It's a park based on opportunity provided by the needed staging area. It shouldn't be considered, or wouldn't be necessarily the first choice or the last effort we should make in parks and open spaces on the island. It's what we think will be available.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Any other discussion from council? All right, thank you. Now you'll stick around. Did we have invited testimony?
Brad Helton and Ed Guerin.
Great, the co-chairs of the steering committee. Mr. Guerin, Mr. Houghton, thank you for co-chairing the steering group.
Thanks for the opportunity.
You betcha. Yes. Who would like to go first?
I'll do it.
Mr. Houghton.
It's been a very rewarding process all the way around, and personally, just because we've been talking about what Hayden Island ought to be once it grows up for about the last 20 years, and it's nice to see some progress in that direction. And even though it doesn't really look like we're going to get closure on this tonight, I think I'm happy to say that the light that I see at the end of the tunnel is probably not a train. So we're going in the right direction here. The other significant rewards that came out of this process have to do with the new cohesive nature of all of the small neighborhoods on the island. It's an unusual area because it has so many neighborhood associations, so many homeowners associations, and typically they haven't been in perfect harmony with each other. And even though I can say we're still not in perfect harmony, the situation out there is much better than it has been. And we have a very strong neighborhood association board at this point that's very well organized and willing to take action on things. So those are really two wonderful secondary opportunities that have occurred here. The basic structure for this new community is in place, and their conceptual standards for identity, sense of place, strong transportation strategy, balanced residential growth, and respect for aesthetic and environmental values of the Columbia River. We have the plan embroidered a little bit here and there with details that kind of suggest what life might be like 20 years from now. But there are lots of decisions left to be made, lots of work left to be done. The comments that you have made here in the last few minutes represent some of the issues that we see. We have a yard-long list of things that we think are concerning us at this point that are unanswered. The biggest difficulty, the biggest challenge is the giant elephant in the room, which we're going to try to keep from being stepped on by. We need your help going forward with managing the relationship with the CRC. We can't do this thing by ourselves. We're saturating all of the individual committees that are up to make sure that we're getting good communication in both directions to the committees. We've formed an organization through the board that will provide some internal communications and an opportunity to develop strategies about how we ought to approach things and where our continuing issues are. But the reality is that we don't have the strength really to deal with some of these things. And so one of the things that we're looking for is some kind of a relationship, a contact, and a commitment on the part of the city to provide some energy and support to what we need to do. We have made a significant investment of time and energy in this process on the community level. The city's done the same thing. The Planning Bureau has been wonderful in this whole process. We're happy to get the significant funding that we did at the time that we did. It really was our last chance to do anything, and I feel like we've been successful at it. So we're looking forward to our partnership with you.
Thank you. Mr. Guerin. Oh,
thank you. I would like everyone who is involved with the steering committee who's here behind me to stand up and so people can see who you are, who's involved with the process. This is probably a small fraction of all of the people who are involved.
Thank you.
Mr. Mayor, City Commissioners, on behalf of the residents and businesses of Hayden Island, I want to thank you for taking the risk to help us create a vision for the lovely island that we all call home. Almost 3 years ago, you responded to our concerns and voted to protect our community from unwanted development and proceed with the planning process that had been started by a group of residents chaired by Mr. Tim Helzer. And I would invite him to stand up if he would like, because if it hadn't been for him, none of this would have happened. The staff and the City Planning Department, most notably Joseph Sender, Alison Wetzel, and Lisa Hamblin, have done an extraordinary job of facilitating a process that at times might best be described as herding cats. C-A-T-S.
Thank you.
As in felines. After dozens of meetings with hundreds of people participating, many of which were in partnership with the Columbia River Crossing Project, we have hammered out a plan that is a sound plan filled with collective wisdom, sound compromise, and creates a framework for maintaining the essence of, and soul of what makes our island such a special place to live and work. As with any public process, we have had dissent, and not everyone agrees with every element of this plan. All of you know that public policy is developed by compromise, but the goal is always to make sure that as many interests as possible have been honored, and we believe that goal has been achieved in this plan. There remain significant concerns about the future of West Hayden Island, as many of our residents live within 200 yards of West Hayden Island and will be directly impacted by whatever proceeds on West Hayden Island. And most of those people are senior citizens, people with respiratory issues. So it's highly imperative that whatever goes forward on West Hayden Island, consider that it will be right next to a very large residential community, both with the floating homes and the manufactured home community. In closing, I again want to thank the city and those of you who are involved in this plan, specifically Mayor Adams, for his vision that he shared with us 3 years ago, and invite all of you to our National Night Out festivities Tuesday, August the 4th at 5 to 8 p.m. at the Hayden Island Manufactured Home Community Main Playground. Some of you have never been to our island, and we always welcome guests and friends to come and share our love affair with the beautiful Columbia River. There is no better time than August, and we hope you will all come out and have some fun with us. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Guerin. Questions for this panel? Thank you both very, very much for your co-chairing. Really appreciate it. All right. Now we will go to the sign-up sheets.
The first three speakers are Don Banker, Laurie Gashwiler, and Tim Helzer. They'll be followed by Jimmy Peters, Ron Buell, and Fred Nussbaum.
Can you repeat the first three?
That would be Don Banker, Laurie Gashwiler, and Tim Helzer.
Hi, Don. Well, welcome to the City Council. That clock in front of you will count down from 2 minutes. And again, you only need to give us your first and last name, no address.
But I could give you my address. No.
You can.
I've already used up my 5 seconds.
But it'll cost you 2 minutes.
Okay.
There you go. Good answer.
I'm Dawn Banker, and I'll tell you, I am a resident of Class Harbor Moorage, which is located across from West Hayden Island on the undeveloped part of West Hayden Island. I'm here to talk about that the Hayden Island plan addresses the problems that exist on East Hayden Island, but include a plan for building a bridge from the Marine Drive mainland part to the West Hayden Island part of the island. And those particular mentions of that are on page 9, 14, and 35 of the Hayden Island plan, including an implementation statement on page 35. We're concerned that adoption of this plan will be seen as support for building this bridge to Hayden Island, West Hayden Island, and will add momentum to the Port of Portland's plan to develop West Hayden Island for industrial and marine use. We have reason to believe that development of West Hayden Island will lead to the same problems that you're addressing today in the plan for East Hayden Island, the degradation of the environment. The residents of Class Harbor Moorage and the adjacent Subtle Road Moorage were not included in the planning process for this plan, and they will be negatively impacted if this bridge is built. So we are respectfully requesting that the mention of and recommendation and provision for the building of this bridge is removed from the plan.
And just so you know and the rest of you know, that's going to be taken out of the plan.
Go ahead, please.
Well, that kind of cuts me short on some of the stuff I was going to say.
The
puzzle looks here.
Yeah, Commissioner Fritz has been working on this issue for us.
So thanks to the residents who sent me emails ahead of time, which we do read, and I really appreciate your insights. I would like to know from folks who have been involved in the plan how much discussion there was, but my understanding from Mr. Zender is that the language on page 14, which says maybe, is what was agreed on, and the language in page 9 and 35 that says, yes, we're having a bridge, is not correct. So I've proposed amendments, which we'll bring back next time to take 9 and 13 and 35 and rationalize that. But if anybody wants to tell me that that's not what was agreed on, I'm happy to hear about that.
So how many of you raise your hand if you came to testify on that issue? Okay.
Oh, wow.
Well, we're going to be making the changes, and so if you want to not testify.
Well, come and say who you are and why you came. But, you know,
if
there's anything else you want to comment on.
If you don't want to testify, that's much appreciated.
I can
if you do want to testify, it is welcome.
I can ad lib a little extra.
Please do.
My name is Larie Gashweiler, and I'm a 29-year resident of the island. I actually go back longer than that with the Janssen Beach Park and my father and my husband running the water departments out there. So when we had wells, so I have a long history with the island. Actually, I'm 62, so you can do the math. It's been over 50 years. I'm here to support and urge the rezoning of Hayden Island's mobile home community to residential. And as you've been stated, with so much commercialization occurring on Hayden Island, the residents of this large community need your help and protection. I'm also here to support and urge the installation of a separate bridge other than the I-5 freeway ramps to be placed somewhere on the east side of the railroad bridge. This would enable the smooth and access to on and off for traffic flow from the island, as has been stated. This additional bridge, I would like to emphasize, in case somebody wants to get wishy-washy on this, would help on the event of an emergency. And I was there in the late 90s when we had the floods, and I can tell you how desperate it was to have a 45-minute exit off that island on a mandatory evacuation. So it is imperative that we have this flow of easy access off in case of an emergency, and as traffic can get very, very bad on the island. I'm also here to register, which might be a little late in saying, consideration, as you said, to the West End Bridge and the development of West Hayden Island. My background does include environmental engineering from Portland State. I can see, as has been previously stated, the horrors that are going to happen if we develop West Hayden Island into something that's going to add environmental noise and pollution to the environment. And we also have salmon runs to consider on the Hayden Island, so this is going to be very, very bad. And that's so, but oh, and the overall plan I support, and I think it's a nice plan. I've seen the development of Hayden Island for many, many years. It's kind of interesting what's happened. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your testimony. Tim.
My name is Tim Helzer. I'm founder and chair of Friends of West Hayden Island. I come here to speak tonight in support of the Hayden Island plan. I've been involved in that for the last 4 years, and thank you very much for the earlier attention to that detail. I'm very concerned about some of the language that's already been noted in the plan. I'm being generous in thinking that it was an oversight and not an intention. But let me go into a little bit more detail in the minute and a half that I have left. It seems to me that for many years the port has planned for multiple bridges to West Hayden Island, and the City Planning and Transportation Bureaus have actually been complicit in quietly supporting these plans. However, when these bridge plans came to light in 98-99, during the port's first attempt to have West Hayden Island annexed into the city, significant opposition arose immediately, and the port withdrew its request. Since then, the port has continued to lobby planning and transportation to support their plan for bridge there, and this has resulted in transportation to budget millions of dollars for infrastructure improvement for an eventual span from North Portland to and Terminal 6 to West Hayden Island, as well as the Planning Commission or Planning Department lending its support to these kinds of subtle changes in the plan. As is noted earlier, I'm supporting this plan with the exception of amending it to redact any mention of West Hayden Island, including any mention of West Hayden Island Bridge, and to include it is inaccurate and would be irrelevant to this plan. Thank you for your consideration.
So just to be clear, I wasn't Transportation Commissioner in 98-99, and there's no, we don't have enough money to be complicit on trying to pre-plan or whatever a bridge. So rest assured that might have been history, but it's not the current fact. And the fact that some language is in here that shouldn't be, that's going to be taken out. So I understand the need to vent over past things, but we've got a new plan and there's a new day in the transportation.
Will an amendment be issued on the plan then if you're taking that out?
On the 8th, July 8th. Yep, like I described at the beginning of the hearing.
You'll have that printed so we can print it off of internet or something?
Right.
Yes.
And if you want to get it before that, you can email me and I'll send you what I proposed.
Thank you. We appreciate that.
You know what I'll do? I'll post it on my website. That'll be easier.
So it really is going to happen, folks. So you don't have to testify on it if you don't want to, but you can if you want as well.
I'll put it on the What Happened page of my website so that you'll know.
Really, truly, honestly. Okay, next three.
Jimmy Peters, Ron Buell, Fred Nussbaum. They'll be followed by Joe Angel, Cheryl Lund, and Esther Wright.
You're for it. Good evening. Welcome. I can't remember. Who'd you call first? It's been a long day.
Jimmy Peters.
Thank you.
Hi.
Good evening. It's Jimmy Peters. I'm a Hayden Island resident, a former High Noon board member, was on the steering group for the Hayden Island plan, been involved in the CRC, and also in an alternate for the community working group for the Hayden Island, West Hayden Island plan that Sam has appointed so kindly. A couple things I'd like to bring up. I know that we've now discussed how that arterial bridge option or auxiliary bridge option came in, was snuck in there, and some confusion, so that's done, and I'll remove that from my list. Thank you for addressing that, Commissioner Fritz. My main question is, obviously everyone saw the paper today and our federal highway dollars issue and the big article on that. How are we going to be relating to the CRC? I'm still a little bit unclear on that, even though I've sat on all these committees, and what are we doing in that regard with I-5 because of the obvious transit issues on the island? I mean, it's not an easy fix, and I do appreciate that. I mean, you can't change it overnight, but what is our plan B for the Columbia River crossing? Because as we can see, the federal highway dollars and Oregon's transit dollars are, well, lacking is the best way of putting it. So, you know, what is it and how are we going about that as a budget issue? The second thing is obviously the West Hayden Island issue with the community working group, and I know that somewhat relates because it is in part of the plan in some areas for recreational spaces and et cetera, and an unknown the annexation process that the city and the port, which I don't quite understand their relationship. I don't understand their relationship because it seems there's a they're co-applicants, but the city decides it, and that's very confusing to me. But obviously, if you've read the recent numbers, their number of calls of ocean-going vehicles are down 33.3%. The total containers load and discharge are down 24.9%. And let's see here. The airline travel is down 13.3% out of Port of Portland. So continuing on with the West Hayden Island and development idea, the port, I don't see how they can support it, nor could they be expected to have us support it as taxpayers.
So let me try to comment on the two good issues that you raised. On the Columbia River crossing, the federal delegation has made clear that the project's budget needs to shrink. And having talked to them personally a number of times, the CRC staff is in the process right now looking at how to reduce the cost and or phase it. So that work's underway, and last I heard it's going to take a couple of months or so to come back with options. And I'm the representative on the Sponsors Council for the city, so that connection through the Planning Bureau and back to Hayden Island is, you know, top of my mind to make sure that I'm representing you well and the city council well on that issue. So it doesn't open until, 2018? And there's years more of work on it. I think, 4 years before ground actually breaks? So this is a long-term process. On the West Hayden Island, I encourage the port to engage in this process of planning West Hayden Island. There are conflicting policy goals for West Hayden Island, and it's not part of the city officially. Most of you probably know that. So we convened a group that has representation from stakeholder groups that have different ideas for West Hayden Island. You're represented on there. Environmental groups are represented on there. We really tried to, and a chair who, you know, was the environmental policy director for Governor Roberts is, you know, considered very fair, very knowledgeable, comes from the environmental community. So that work is underway, whether this group can try to reconcile the conflicting policies that are in place right now. And that work is going to take, you know, a number of months as well. But those meetings are open to the public, and if you want to be notified of when those meetings are, I encourage you all to sign up at mayorsamadams.com, and you'll be notified for those meetings. So, but you all need to know, I'm the one, given your plan underway, given the bridge underway, given the years of sort of conflicting policies and goals on the table, that I would like to get it resolved one way or another. So the port didn't, I went to the port. The port didn't sort of come to us, just so you know.
Thank you.
Thanks. Mr. Buell?
I'm Ron Buell. I'm here today because I've been watching city planning happen for 40 years now. And this Hayden Island plan is the most deceptive city planning effort I've ever seen. I'm referring primarily to its accommodation of the Columbia River crossing. Where in the plan are realistic pictures of what the new 12-lane freeway will actually look like as it goes all the way across the island and the slough, 70 feet in the air? Please note the $500 million Marine Drive interchange curls around on stilts and runs alongside the freeway across the slough and island until it merges at the river. Please note the two on and off lanes in each direction. The total is 18 lanes wide. That's 250 feet, more than 250 feet, more than a whole city block, and that doesn't count the light rail bridge. Where is in your plan are human scale pictures like this one, which is only 12 lanes wide? How much time have you folks spent underneath or directly alongside the Fremont or Markham ramps? What do you think the impact in dirt and noise and darkness will be on the merchants and residents of Hayden Island? I showed these pictures to more than 24 merchants and residents on Saturday and got a mixture of